Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is Purim, it is St. Patrick's Day, but we still want to keep an eye on what's happening in with the Russian-Ukraine conflict. Timpisa Fukuda, political analyst at Africa Asia Dialogue. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
So we had an address by President Zelensky to the U.S. Congress. What were the main points that he wanted to get across?
Well, he's emphasizing his request for the imposition of a no-fly zone and the further request for Americans to put pressure on Russia and provide the necessary weaponry to the Ukrainian people to fight the war. But again, it was the imposition of the no-fly zone. And we saw the video that he also showed to the Congress showing the destruction, which I felt was a little bit overkill because it was a well-produced video with sad music.
Yes,
so he does
that, and he's been doing that the whole way through the conflict. Normally, he's done it very, very well and not overplayed it. That was potentially overplayed. The music was just too much, I think.
Yeah, it kind of exposed him as a politician lacking experience. I mean, he's doing very well in terms of leading at the moment, but I think there will come a point where is going to be, you know, it's an overkill to an extent. And I think he needs to begin to understand when to stop. I felt yesterday that it was just too much and it kind of undermined the intelligence. And if you really think about it, I mean, Congress is full of really experienced politicians and they could see it coming. But of course, they still gave him that standing ovation and thanked him for being a gallant a leader, but I think there'll come a point where he has to start taking a much more diplomatic posture in terms of how he deals with, particularly with the United States. I mean, the fact that he continually criticizes them in the media about the lack of action and reminds them of very basic things, defense of democracy and why it's important for them to defend democracy and all of that. I mean, these are things that you'll expect a politician will take for granted, that other politicians, particularly of the caliber of Joe Biden and the rest in the Congress, know about. So there is that element, I felt, the element of undermining, the element of, you know, him thinking that is better than the rest to an extent. I mean, I understand the desperate situation he finds himself and the Ukrainian people, but I think the talking points and the manner in which he communicates that desperation has to change and improve. And I'm hoping that someone is going to advise him of doing that. I mean, the video was an overkill.
Yeah, but in terms of the messaging, it's what he was saying is absolutely vital and not unreasonable for the Ukrainian people.
No, certainly. But what I'm saying is you're putting these people who've been supporting you into the corner and basically embarrassing them and compromising them in their own countries, particularly the United States, who Joe Biden will be facing the challenge when it comes to the second quarter elections and the primary elections and all the other PR that comes with it. If he's continually embarrassing his own country about inactiveness and inaction, etc., and he's doing the same to other European countries in terms of, you know, what are you waiting for? We are dying. Yes, we know that. But I think there are certain things that are worth mentioning in public and other things are supposed to be emphasized in private. And what we see at the moment is it's him continually pushing the, particularly NATO, into the corner to say, you know what, if anything, I mean, he said this a couple of days ago, that if anything has to happen, you have yourself to blame. I'm not quite sure whether you'll be speaking to people like that, especially if you're expecting help from those people. So I think we've reached a point now where his messaging and continual, you know, lobbying is becoming, at least personally, I think it's becoming problematic. There will be a clash of heads soon in terms of him offending some of the European leaders and the US in terms of how he's going around in public, calling them out and exposing their inaction and inefficiencies.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt that it will start. I mean, when people start blocking him on Facebook because they just can't anymore. But he is in a very, very desperate situation. In terms of the no-fly zone, why are they so reluctant to impose a no-fly zone?
Well, a no-fly zone will involve at some point if there are violations, shooting down Russian planes in a...
In other words, it almost guarantees an escalation of war. It almost guarantees dragging themselves into the war.
No doubt about it. I mean, Ukraine is not a member of the European Union. It's also not a member of NATO. Now, if you're going to invite NATO coming in, one, you'll confirm the suspicions and the criticism of Putin that Ukraine has brought into the region an enemy, in inverted commas. So what you do is, if you impose a no-fly zone, chances are, of course, you have to at some point shoot down Russian planes that will be violating that no-fly zone. And when NATO forces do that, that's a declaration of war, which therefore means that countries like Lithuania, Poland, and all others that are bordering Russia will also be open to a war. And knowing what we know now in terms of what will happen if Putin is pushed into the corner, because that will mean that the entire Europe, at least, and members of NATO are now will be fighting Russia. And I don't think Russia can actually withstand the power and the force of NATO. And chances are it might just resort into a much more devastating method of fighting in this war. And we don't want to see that happening. But we all know that if NATO does come in, it will be over in 3-4 days for Russia, because they will never be able... I mean, they can't even go into Kyiv after so many days of fighting. The Ukrainians are really putting a fight. So imagine if the entire Europe... forget about Europe. Just those that are bordering Russia decide to join this war. There's absolutely no ways that Russia will be in all of those fronts, maintain presence and keep on fighting. They will really have to collapse. So chances are Putin might just resort into something much more, a bigger deterrent.
And the only
deterrent in this case will be a nuclear and a nuclear attack.
It's very scary. The other thing is that they mentioned that, I read a report this morning, that says roughly 7,000 Russian troops have already been killed. That's an enormous number.
Well, yeah, but the Russians don't know about it because there's a media blockout. We still have a lot of Russians who feel that this is a special military, exercise inside Ukraine. Most Russians do not know that there's a full-scale, full-blown war taking place in Ukraine in their name. So I think, yes, people are dying, but the Russian television and the media is not showing those... coffins rolling into Russia because there is a media blackout. So this is for us, and I think to an extent it emboldens the Ukrainian fighters to say that they're pushing backward. But one will expect that the large number of casualties would have convinced the Russian community to put pressure on Putin. But as I've said, they're not seeing the devastation of this war, and as a result, you are likely to see Putin and his henchmen continuing ripping havoc in Ukraine.
Tembisa Fakuda, political analyst at Africa Asia Dialogue, talking to us about the situation in Russia, Ukraine.